to the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I gotta let that ride out.
What y'all know about that YG? I know you had a long day, baby. I know the 9 to 5 shift probably seem like all day, baby. You bought your money, so you probably working overtime.
I gotta let that ride out. What y'all know about that YG?
Long as you getting more power to you. Make a nigga that got it, wanna give it to you.
Oh, I had to let that ride out. What's going on, man? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am that dude that they call Tariq Elite. They also call me King Flex. They also call me Tariq Nasheed. The ladies call me Denzel Sausageton. But I'm here and I'm ready to chop up good game with the family. We're going to have a real good time. We're going to drop some real hot game. We're going to be game soaked on today's show. So we're going to break the game down and we're going to take some calls from some of the listeners. The number is 818-850-5404. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed and Instagram at Tariq Elite. Y'all start following me now. And we're going to be right back after a very, very brief commercial break. And don't you go nowhere. Yo, you're checking out the brand new single by the homie T-Shock, and this one is called Gold Bars. And you can get this single right now at SoundCloud, you can get it at Pandora, and you can get it at tshocktheworld.com. Now, you heard of T-Shock in the hit movie The Eugenist. His songs were playing throughout the whole movie, so my man brings that heat. So don't forget, order your copy of Gold Bars right now at tshocktheworld.com.
Homeboy, stop it. It's a 1,000-pound gorilla. No, you cannot get. No, and I'm plugged into your girl. That's straight socket.
The Free Show Firm presents Kalawale Takeo and his brand new single called Times. You Live Your Life. That's off his brand new independent album called Energies. That's what you're listening to right now. My man Kalawale is a second generation Nigerian immigrant, and my man is down there in Long Beach, which is the strong beach, and he's doing his thing. Go to SoundCloud.com/TOKEAUX to check out my man's new music, and go to TheFreeShowFirm.com to sign up for VIP emails to stay up to date with my man Takeo's information. That's TheFreeShowFirm.com, and show is spelled S-H-O, FreeShowFirm.com.
You are now tuning in to the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize! What's going on, fam? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I'm ready to chop up game. I got that sugar free in the background, so you know the game is going to be soaking with that ism. We're going to talk about hoes today, not in a bad way. We're going to talk about hoes and what makes females turn to hoeing. We're going to talk about the 5 reasons that makes females turn to hoeing. But before we get into that, let's get some calls from some of the listeners right now and chop up game with the family. What's going on? Who's calling?
Yo, what up, fam? It's OB calling from New York, UK, all day.
All day. What's going on with you, OB? What's on your mind?
Yeah, man, I got one of my peeps, man, is actually a family member. She's in middle management. She works for the government or whatever. And every time I talk to her, all she's telling me is about how she's giving the brothers under her hell. And she really don't have a reason for it, man. It's always, I will not be disrespected. They're going to respect me. And I'm like, where does that come from, man? Like, what is that about?
That comes from being a bed wench. And that's her position. And she knows that. On these jobs, they put black females in position over brothers to keep them in check, So she knows they go to work and they throw their little weight around with these brothers. Now they know they can't pull that with nobody white on the job at all. They can't even pull that on a mailroom clerk if he's white. But the brothers, they can throw that bullshit, that slick talk. He ain't gonna disrespect me. They can flex all of that on brothers at the job because, again, we have the plantation mentality for the most part. And when you look at slavery on the plantation, it was the mammy and the black auntie that would keep all the male slaves in check on the plantation. And back during slavery, it was done for safety reasons. They wanted to keep the brothers in check so it would keep them safe to a certain degree. They didn't want the brothers to lose their temper and end up getting killed by the slave masters and the overseers. But then it morphed into just straight up Negro bedwinchism, meaning that a lot of these females, and not all, because I'm not throwing all sisters under the same umbrella, because that same type of female at the job, they're even worse on other sisters, especially if it's a fine sister. But the thing is, what happens is that black people start giving more value to their plantation privileges. So now that she's an overseer over black men at the job, she thinks she's closer to white supremacy, and that gives her a sense of pride. I see that all the time. It ain't nothing but Negro bedwinchism. Now, if I was those brothers on the job, I would go over her head every single time. I wouldn't even go for that shit. When I do business meetings, and a lot of times I go into meetings at certain companies, and they'll have a black female executive, and not all, but you can tell the ones who are the bedwinches. I can feel the bedwinch energy when I walk in the room. I immediately go over her head. I'm like, who's this motherfucker's boss? I ain't about to sit up here and go through the motions with this person, and they're trying to flex some type of superiority complex over me. I would rather deal with her. I deal with her boss. So that's what I suggest to brothers. If you have a Negro bedwinch at your job who's a supervisor, there's always somebody over her. Deal with that person. It's that simple.
All right.
You feel me?
One other thing, Sam. Hidden Colors.
Yes, sir.
Is it going to be here? Obviously, it's going to be here in New York.
Absolutely.
But when are you going to let us know, where and all that?
I will keep you guys posted within the next few weeks. We're doing all the finishing touches on it. So it's basically done. We got to finish the sound coordination of it. So we're in the tweaking stages of it. It's going to be nice and crisp. So I'll keep you guys posted within the next couple of weeks.
I appreciate you, my dude.
Much respect, fam. Yes, indeed. Like I said, fam, y'all got to don't even entertain those Negro bedwinches at your job. They always put them in those positions to keep brothers in check. And they get off on giving brothers hell every day. They get off on that shit. I don't stand for that for 1 minute. When I do business, no, I'm good. Let's see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What up, Tariq? This is Hen Dog from Long Beach.
What's up, Hen, from the LBC? What's going on with you, fam?
The LBC, dog. I just want to call up and speak on the whole black feminist outrage you always speak about.
Yes.
So, yeah, I went to a comedy club. You probably are, heard of it. I don't want to put it on blast, but a comedy club on Pico, right?
Okay.
It was amateur night, and this one black comedian woman went on stage. She was actually really funny.
Okay.
However, she got on this black feminist rant where she was down-talking black men. And then she was talking so highly about white men, how white men are gentlemen and pay for dinner and don't care about what the woman orders and chivalrous and all these things, while down-talking black men. And every time she would talk positively about white men, the whole crowd were black audience and
right.
Majority black women. And they would say, that's right, or exactly, that's right, girl, and just cheering her on. And and all the black brothers were like, what the fuck? You're over here talking shit about us.
Exactly.
And it was just so ridiculous how I saw so many of the audience supporting this woman who was funny, but at the same time, it's like, why are you supporting her to this extent? I didn't know. I was aware of it, but it seems like it's almost spreading like wildfire, this notion that black men are all just lazy and don't do shit and no good people.
Right. Look, black people, man, the thing is with black people have become very content with being second-class citizens. Black people have become very content with being on the plantation as psychological slaves. You have to understand that first. Now, on one token, I can understand where certain women come from because there's a lot of scared black men out here who will not exert themselves and create a situation of independence. You got brothers out here who make every excuse in the world to not challenge white supremacy or to just build any kind of infrastructure that will run parallel to the white supremacist power structure. You dig? It's very difficult to get brothers to raise up on that. So I can understand that gripe coming from women. Now, the whole Negro bedwinchism, where this whole thing with white guys treat us better. Well, the thing is, when you're completely neutralized, people have a little more wherewithal to be a little nicer to you because you're so less of a threat. They can afford to treat you nice. They can afford to take you to dinner. On the plantation, they fed you. they clothed you before they fucked you. You dig? They
most definitely.
They got you some nice things on the plantation. Hell, that's how pimping got started. The pimping got started on the plantation. The pimping got started when cats on the plantation realized, okay, look, you're going to keep getting fucked, and every now and then, if the pussy's good, the master would give you an extra piece of cornbread, or the master would give you a good piece of the sandwich, or he would get you a couple of nice clothes. So some brothers start saying, hey, look, since we're in this situation and you get nice shit all the time. As a matter of fact, slip it in there, and this is how you butt a master up to get nice shit. So that's how the pimping got started, because black women started to get Negro trinkets on the plantation in exchange for sex. And just like hoeing, the worst kind of hoe is a hoe who starts liking and believing the trick. You understand that? When you start thinking that your trick is actually treating you nice and your trick actually cares about you, you're going to be a real lost hoe. And that's how a lot of the Negro bedwinches are when they start talking about how nice the white guys treat us. Well, the thing is, in order to be accepted by him, listen to your own ideology. You have to talk down on yourself and your culture and your people in order to be accepted by him. So what does that say? What does that say about you?
It was just disheartening to see so many black women support this. I would hope that people would at least not react to it or react negatively to it, but the amount of women who reacted positively to this rant was like almost eye-opening to an extent. It was like, this is getting I've watched this all the time, listen to you, but it's getting ridiculous. It's getting, and then, you know, the whole scandal show, I think, does not help at all. While I think the show was a decent show, it definitely does perpetuate this notion that, you know, the white man is superior and the black man is inferior. And I think it's
I have one more question. I got to build on that, man, because that's some heavy stuff right there. I saw a commercial recently, and I've seen this a lot lately. You see commercials with interracial couples. Mostly it's like a white dude and a black woman. And there was some commercial I saw. I don't know if it was a Pine Sol commercial or something, but it was a black woman, a white guy, and they had these mixed kids. And it was very interesting because now they figured out exactly what black folks want, to pacify black folks, to keep black folks from saying, hey, white supremacy is whooping my ass, let me figure out ways to challenge it. They give black people what they really want, and black people are not really honest about this. Black people, especially a lot of black women, not all, but a lot of black women pride mixed kids. You want a white male so you can get some mixed kids, so you can spit out some kids that don't look shit like you, because you don't like what you look like in the mirror. Now, all sisters like this? Of course not. But we got a lot of Negro bedwinches with that mentality. This is why a lot of folks were so surprised to see women flock to the scandal show. Because deep down, a lot of women, they want that mixed seed to get rid of their wretched Negro gene that white supremacy told them was negative. See how that works?
Yeah.
It's like it's real psychological and it's deep. I have to do a whole show about that. But go ahead with your next question, brother.
Okay, I got a relationship question to ask you. You always speak on how the woman is a reflection of the man's character and the man's energy.
Yes.
So I want to ask you, how do you think in a relationship, in a healthy relationship, a man can maintain his girlfriend's or his wife's, his lover's respect? And does that fluctuate? Is it normal for it to fluctuate as far as, let's say, passion or respect is concerned? Do you think it's circumstantial? For example, if the man is doing well for a season and then all of a sudden he falls down and the woman starts to excel and tables have turned, do do you think a real woman loses respect subconsciously, or do you think that in a true relationship, in a real relationship, that level of respect will be consistent regardless of the circumstance?
And that's a lot of guys feel like that. A lot of guys, and I get this question a lot from dudes, they say, well, man, my woman is starting to make a little more money than me, and I'm kind of feeling insecure about it. I think she's going to lose respect for me. A lot of guys have that thing. That's why a lot of guys, in a way, they kind of don't want their women to excel, because they don't want their women to have certain options. And this is, it goes across racial lines. This is really heavy in the white community, because in the white community, they've always had this whole thing where my woman is not going to work. No woman of mine is going to work, because they didn't want women, the white women, going into the workplace getting all that financial freedom, because that eventually leads to sexual freedom. So in order to control people, the best way is to control them financially. That's why welfare was created for white women in the 1930s, because they didn't really want white women to go into the workplace when all of these white guys were dying in these coal mines and all that. So they wanted to kind of keep white women safe financially, so they didn't have to go out here and work and make a real thorough living and outpace some of the white males out here. But that's neither here nor there. But the thing is, if you're insecure about something, your woman will immediately pick up on that. Your woman taps into you. See, women tap into your vibes, and women can feel your energy. Women can feel when you're confident. Women can feel when you're happy. Women can feel when you're angry, and women can feel when you're insecure. So you got to be secure within yourself in order for your lady to be secure with you. Because if it were me, I don't give a goddamn if a woman had $1 billion in the bank and I had 80 food stamps in my wallet. I'm still going to get that damn respect no matter what. She ain't going to talk to me greasy. I'm not going to bow down to no bullshit. She's still going to have a certain level of respect. And that money is not going to make a difference to me one way or another. You can have options all day. That's cool. But I know I'm going to be a thorough dude. I'm going to stand on top of my principles and my morals. And you're going to have to respect that. And you got to look at it from that perspective.
Because I recall you saying that a man has to have his paper up in order to command that respect. But then you're saying now that regardless of that a man who's confident in himself, regardless of his financial situation, he'll command that respect regardless of
the paper helps. You know, it helps to have your money together, because you want to clear up anything you're insecure about. You understand that?
Yeah.
If you're insecure about something, most guys are insecure about their paper. You want to fix that. You want to get to a position where your money is straight. But you don't let the money define you now. That's a whole big difference. If you're letting your money define what your confidence level is going to be in general, that's not going to work. Because, look, there was times when I was dead broke, but I would still campaign for the dimes. I didn't give a fuck. You know, I still have pride in myself. And your money should never define that. You feel me?
I feel you. All right, bro, man. I appreciate it, man. Much respect, Tariq.
Thanks for the call, family.
All right, man.
Yes, indeed. Y'all got to demand respect no matter what. Now, if you're a broke nigga, don't be comfortable being broke now. I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm not saying that dudes should just sit up here, your pockets got lint in them, and then you walking around this motherfucker like you Morris Chestnut or somebody. I'm not saying that, because you do have a lot of these dusty niggas out here who are demanding all types of things, but you can't really bring anything to the table. There's a real big difference between having self-respect and having arrogance, because that's a lot of arrogance when a lot of dudes have this, well, you can still do for me even though I'm broke. That ain't got nothing to do with confidence. That's really more of a mother-child relationship dudes have with women. And that's an extension from dudes being up under their mama and their mama doing everything for them. So when they get with women, they expect the same. Like, you're supposed to do shit for me. I'm the child. That's his mentality. And that's not what I'm talking about. Real big difference from a dude whose money might be a little janky at the moment, but he's still respecting himself. He's still getting out here making things happen, or trying to get things happening, or trying to get things back on track, and he's having confidence in his ability and his potential. Real big difference. Just want people to understand the difference. I don't want to empower no dusty niggas out here to do dusty nigga things. What's going on? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Tariq? My name is B from Baltimore.
B from Baltimore. What's going on with you, playboy?
Not much. I got two quick questions for you, man. I want to say, you do a great job, educating us. Do you ever think that because of what you do, they may target you with something like COINTELPRO. And then my second question is, how do you feel about black militarism?
Well, the first question, they probably already tapped my phone and all that, but yeah, I ain't hide nothing. You know what I'm saying? I just want justice.
Yeah.
All I want is justice. I'm not trying to poison nobody's water. I'm not trying to kill babies, nothing. I just want justice. I have nothing to hide whatsoever. So they can tap my phone, follow me. Well, I done traveled in Homeland Security. They brought me into the office and all that shit. But yeah, I've got nothing to hide.
Really?
So it is what it is. All you're going to get from me is some good macking skills. That's it.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. And then how do you feel about black militarism? Is it something that you agree with, or what do you think?
Absolutely, because we do need that protection. We do need a level of protection. The thing is, if we do get a black militancy group, we're so easily infiltrated. All types of federal agents will be a part of it, and that's what I don't like.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying?
I just read the spook that sat by the door, and that's why I'm kind of asking these questions. An amazing book.
Yeah.
I recommend it to everybody who's listening, but it definitely made me think a little bit about what's going on in terms of our militancy. And then, you know, guys like you, they hate guys like you. You're doing too much out here. I mean, you're giving us too much information. They hate that.
Yeah, but again, it's information to bring justice. And again, we do need that. We need that protection level, because you got these white militia groups, and it don't take them nothing. It don't take them nothing to organize. Y'all, you saw what happened last week up in Nevada. For those who don't know, there was this situation where this cattle herder or somebody, he had this land, and the government was trying to tax him for the land, and he wasn't going to pay the taxes. And then the government was going to come in and move his cattle, and all of these white militia groups heard about it, and they went up there with their guns to confront the federal government, and the federal government backed down. You dig what I'm saying?
Of course. And of course.
That's
real
heavy stuff. But thanks for the call, man. But like I said, that whole situation happened up there in Nevada last week. And I've been telling people to watch out for the month of April. Last month, in March, I told people the month of April, a lot of these white supremacist groups and white extremist groups, they come out of the woodworks. And soon as the month of April started, it was incident after incident. You see mass shootings, mass stabbings, you see bombings, you see all types of stuff. Now, in the month of April, it's just in the middle of April right now. April 2nd, you have the Fort Hood shooting. This guy at Fort Hood just starts shooting people. You had this whole militia group thing going up there in Nevada in April, like last week. You had a white supremacist a couple of days ago shoot up a Jewish synagogue. This was just a couple of days ago. I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, I think they found another bomb in Boston that they had to dismantle. Then there was a mass stabbing somewhere. I mean, all of this stuff is happening so fast, I can't even get all the details. And again, this is just the beginning of April. And again, I tell black folks, you better be careful, because we still got 15 more days to go in April. So they can still get buck wild out here. April is a very significant month for white supremacist groups. And this is why I don't stay focused on bullshit. See, black folks are kept focused on a lot of stupid shit. If you look online, we circulate dumb fake news stories. There's this one fake news story about Leonardo DiCaprio playing Dr. Martin Luther King in the movie. And a few people, they've sent me this. And I reading the headline, I knew it was something from like a parody a satire website, but some of these niggas won't even look and check the sources of the bullshit they're circulating. And I'm gonna start blocking people. If you're just that misinformed and you can't really differentiate between reality and bullshit, I'm blocking you niggas. Check your sources before you put stuff on my page. I can tell a fake story, and you send the story and you look at the bottom of the page and it's clearly a satire site. And black folks gravitate towards dumb bullshit too much. If it's dumb, silly, and goofy, we gravitate towards that. But real knowledge, real information, sometimes you gotta convince brothers and sisters to get up on top of that. And that's a very bad habit that we need to get out of. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see who else is on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
up, Tariq, man? What's up, Flex?
What's up? Who is this, man? Where you calling from?
Nah, I'm sitting here with my cousin, man. This is Danny, man. D-Nick, man. We calling from Cincinnati right now, man.
Oh, there you go. Cincinnati, the ugly female capital of the world.
Let me say something. I do not like the vibe here. I got a son and everything.
Let me say something. Look, I just left Colorado. I just did a lecture at the University of Northern Colorado. Shout out to Colorado, by the way. Very nice looking women in Colorado. Y'all players, y'all sleep on Colorado. There's some cuties out there in Colorado who are very cooperative.
What about North Carolina, though?
North Carolina, too. North Carolina? But I'm saying niggas think it's like ski slopes and snow and weed. There's some cute-ass females in Colorado, and they are cooperative. So I give you props to do.
But hold on, player, let me finish.
But I say that to say I'll give props to a city where props are due, but there are some cities with some ugly ass people. And Cincinnati is one of them. And no disrespect to my people in Cincinnati. I was downtown Cincinnati. That shit looked like Halloween Horror Night. Those were some of the ugliest motherfuckers I've seen in my life. I don't know what's going on in Cincinnati. Maybe I was in the wrong area or whatever. But
was in the wrong area?
Hey.
The bad bitches, hey, man.
But I guess no, it was...
I'm a black dude. I'm in college or whatever, man. I'm 25. I got a six-year-old son. He'd be six on May 2nd.
Okay.
I'm having, you know, I had a baby with a white girl.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to keep it 100.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna keep it 100. And she the damn devil, bro. I ain't gonna say I was cupcaking or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be 100 though, but that was my chick, but she just got brand new. You know, you start changing your life, bro, they start getting brand new on you and shit.
No, how she get brand new on you? What she do?
Man, she smashed the homie. She just went all out, bro. She got all up ratchet and just bopping, bro. What they call them now, she was sighing, bro. She was just out there just that type way, just disrespecting the game, bro.
Now, how did you feel when you found out she was out there with smashing the homies? How did that make you feel?
It made me feel, you know, I'm going to be 100. You know what I mean? That was my chick, and I'm just like, it's salty, but I was doing my thing, so I can't really get salty. But at the same time, she crossed the line, like, it became a battle, you feel me? It became a battle between us. And like, you know, I ain't gonna lie. You know what I mean? I got to a point. I'm like, look, I just want to stop. You know what I mean? And she kept it going. So I'm just like, you know what I mean? It is a crazy situation. But look, I'm beyond that. I'm in school right now. I'm going for paramedic. But I actually want to do film directing. That's like my passion. You feel me? My mother is actually a hustler, bro. My mother is from the street.
Okay, I got a little music playing for you in the background. Hold on.
Oh, here we go.
Just something to just a little something to just a little something to heal your heart, brother. That's it. So
hey, that's what's up though. Hey, look, I'm way beyond that, sir. I'm about my money right now, sir.
There you
go. I'm busting out two jobs and school. I got a food trailer I'm gonna bring out.
There
so
you
know what I mean, I'm just my mother trying to show me this game, really, man. You know, my father's been locked up since I was a young dude. I mean, so hey.
There you go. Man. I'm glad you how old are you, by the way, V?
I'm 25, man.
Okay, I'm glad you're bouncing back, man. You didn't let your interracial relationship fuck up your self-esteem. You're out here getting your paper, and you sound like you're moving on, man. So that's a good thing. But thanks for the call, fam. Okay, brother's going to go on and on. Sorry I had to cut the brother off. Brother was going to go on and on and on. Let me put my Mac and music back on. Oh, man. So anyway, let's get into the topic. Let's get into the topic of what I want to talk about on today's show, family. I want to talk about the five reasons why women turn to hoeing. And the reason I want to talk about this is because of the sex tape that's about to come out from one of the people from the TV show Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. For those who may or may not be familiar, there's a hit show that comes on VH1 called Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. A lot of really quirky characters on this reality show. And one of the stars of the show is a woman named Mimi. I think her last name is Faust, something like that. Her name is Mimi Faust, and she's dating this dude named Nico something. And Love and Hip Hop is about to come on VH1, I guess next month or in a few weeks, the Atlanta version. And right before it's about to hit the air again. There's this sex tape scandal, quote unquote scandal. I'm using scandal with quotes because this is clearly something that's staged. And that's the thing. A lot of people have this whole, let's stage a sex tape leak, and Vivid Video happens to have all the rights to them. And this is something that's negotiated. This was something that was very deliberate. And I guess on the show, I don't know if they're going to try to work it into the storyline, but it's something that's definitely deliberate. And you guys can look up a clip of it online. I saw a clip of it, and Mimi was getting it in. This woman is sucking dick six ways to Sunday. It was just her and her dude, but she didn't put on the whole boots. And she's getting it in. So a lot of people are looking at her kind of sideways. Like, what's going on with this woman? I mean, she's on the shower. She's holding on to the shower rods, getting her thing ate. I mean, they are getting it in. She's getting it in. I tell people, don't sleep on them little narrow-ass women, because she's one of those sisters with no ass. And I tell people all the time, even though I don't trust no black woman with no ass. Again, some of y'all are cool. Some of the sex is cool. But I'm just not going to leave my wallet around no black woman with no ass. I just don't trust them to save my life. But them flat-ass black women know how to throw that pussy. From what I've seen and experienced, they know how to throw it and they know how to blow it. You dig what I'm saying? They can blow it like no other. They have the skills to pay the bills. But the thing is, a lot of people are looking at this situation like, why would she do this? So I want to talk about that. Some of the reasons why women turn to hoeing. And I'm not saying that to disparage anybody, because I'm not slut shaming here. I'm not trying to shame no hoe. If you want to be a hoe, hold your hoe head up high. All hoes are not bad. Hoes are people too. But a lot of us are confused about why women get into the hoeing game. And when I say hoeing, I mean the sex for money game. The prostitution game. The pussy popping or pussy slanging for change game. And that's what Mimi's doing. When you have sex and put it on tape and sell it, you're selling pussy. Even if you're having sex with one person, that's still selling ass. Even when you look at porno, most of those women really have sex with the same handful of guys. Unless they're doing like a gangbang or some shit, some kind of fetish video. But many of the women usually have the same handful of sex partners they make porno movies with. But it's still hoeing, and I'm not saying that is a bad thing. It is what it is. But what are some of the reasons why women get into hoeing? Because a lot of people are confused by certain things. Well, one reason, the number one reason that people assume is the money. They hoeing because they need the money. On the outside, that's one of the reasons, but that's not the real reason. Now, people do get out there and throw on those hoe boots for the money when their purse gets a little empty. They're looking at that purse and they're looking at that pussy and they're like, look, I can use this pussy to put some in that purse. So some women say it's time to get out here and get it. Now, hoeing for money is one of the worst reasons to hoe. Because when you do something for the money, you become desperate to a certain degree. Then you start compromising too much of your integrity. And you can be a hoe with integrity. You can be a hoe with morals and rules and a conscience to a certain degree. That's what makes you a bona fide hoe. And I get on that in 1 second. But money is one reason, but not the main reason. Usually the hoeing for money, that's for like the third world country type of hoes. Like down in Brazil or the Dominican Republic, they're hoeing for money. Or in Thailand, that's hoeing for money. In the Philippines, that's hoeing for money because they're hoeing and then they're taking care of their family. It's not a negative thing. The family know they're hoeing. The grandma's like, hey, bitch, go put on your heels. It's 6 o'clock. I need a new microwave. Get out there and get it. You know, your grandma's seen you on the track in certain third world countries. So usually that's reserved for the hoeing for money situation. But over here, not so much. But it is a factor. Some, like I said, some women do get out there and like, I ain't got no money. I need this rent paid. My car note is low. Let me call up this old motherfucker I met at Target the other day. Now, the second reason why women start hoeing, it's the new dick sensation that they like. They just like the new sensation of multiple dicks. Just different dicks bring different energy. It's the adventure of new dicks in their lives. There's a mysterious thing there. It brings a different kind of vibe, and they get off on that. It's what the players would call fun fucking. They get off on that. And that's not a good reason to hoe for money, by the way. If you're trying to get you some paper, or you're trying to stack up paper, or you're trying to be bona fide, that's not a good reason to be a hoe. Because then you ain't going to get no money. Or you're going to get low money. Because instead of looking at the wallet, you're looking at the dick and balls. And you're going to take door number two. Because even though you don't want to do things strictly for the paper, you don't want to do things without getting the paper you're supposed to get. So a lot of females, and even women who are not in the game, they do a lot of new dick sensation hoeing. They like to bounce around to different dudes because they like the sensation of new dicks in their lives. Because a lot of times they're not fulfilled. They're trying to find themselves in those dicks. And then that brings us to the third reason why a lot of women turn to hoeing. And this is the most common reason. It's for attention. You get attention from new dudes. All these new dudes are giving you attention. They're giving you some kind of value, and value equals attention to certain people. Or attention equals value. Even if they're not just getting attention from the tricks or the people they're laying up with, they're at least getting attention from the pimp or the PI or the cat who's managing them as far as the game. Because the thing is, after a while, if a female is hoeing and she gets the hang of her hoeing and she gets a stride going with her hoeing, the money don't become that big of a deal because the money is always there. And they know that. So the money is not that big of a deal. You know you can get the money. So you look for other things to fulfill you. And a lot of times the attention will. Or the attention you get from your PI. So there's a lot of attention whoring going on out here. Now the fourth reason why a lot of women turn to hoeing. A lot of women turn to hoeing because they think this is a way to punish other people. It's almost what I call revenge hoeing. And I've seen women talk about this. I've heard women say, I started hoeing and prostituting because I was mad at my ex-boyfriend. So they start selling their ass to get back at the ex-boyfriend who probably done something to them. So they're harming themselves to harm others in their feeble mind. Also, a lot of women say, well, I started hoeing because I was mad at my parents for getting a divorce. I was mad at my dad for not being there. So you think you're punishing others by punishing yourself. Not a good reason for hoeing, but you see a lot of that out there. Now, the fifth reason why a lot of women turn to hoeing, and this might surprise a lot of people, and this is the case I think of Mimi and why she has this sex tape out. A lot of women get into hoeing to leave a legacy. A lot of women actually get into hoeing to leave a legacy. And a lot of these women, they start getting into it when they're a little older. Like Mimi. Mimi from Love & Hip Hop. This woman is 41 years old. And I know a lot of women who used to walk the track and used to hustle like that, when they started getting older, they started doing porno movies in order to kind of build a name, to build a rep. I would say some names, but I don't want to put, you know, people out there like that. But I know some females out here who older, in their 40s, who still look good, who was hoeing on the track, and they started doing pornos at like 39, 40, because the thing is, 24 years old in the hoeing game is really old. That's old to be a hoe. 24 years old. The prime hoes are 18, 19, 20, but when you get around 24, 25, that's considered over the hill. So when you have like 30-something and 40-some-year-old women getting into the hoeing game, you know, that's them trying to get that last piece of shine. That's them trying to get that last piece of glory. Now, with this whole Mimi thing, a lot of people like, she shouldn't have done it. This is going to follow her forever. Why would you want something like this to follow you? Doesn't she know that this is going to stay around forever? Of course she knows. That's why she did it. She wants that legacy. She wants that legacy. She wants it to stay around forever. See, like I said, this Mimi is a good looking chick. She's 41 years old. And she still looks good. See, that's the thing. When you have a lot of women who are older and they still look good, sometimes they say, let me get it in one last time before I hit the wall, because they don't know when they're going to hit the wall. The wall hit is coming anytime soon where they start looking a beast. So you never know. You 41 and you still kind of look good and niggas can still run up on you and try to choose up. You want to take advantage of that. You don't know when you're going to hit that wall. Ain't nobody trying to wipe you up anytime soon. So you might as well go for the legacy. I remember Rosie Perez, she was talking about being on Soul Train. She used to be on Soul Train shaking that little Puerto Rican ass. And recently she was talking about it. She was like, yo, hey, you know, I loved it being on Soul Train. I'm glad those videos are still around because, shit, my body looked good. I just wanted everybody to know how I looked back then. I looked good back then. My body was banging. So she was proud of the way she looked, and she's proud that people are recognizing how fine she was back then, even though she's hit the wall just a little bit now. Her body ain't as tight as it used to be back in the 80s and 90s, but they're proud of that legacy. And the thing is, she needs this legacy. Mimi is like, look, I can't act, I can't sing. Nobody's going to remember me after this reality show is over. And you got to understand what goes on in the mind of a 41-year-old woman who's still fine, especially on a reality show. She's like, look, I'm 41. I'm out here in Atlanta competing with women who are 21. Half of them are strippers with big old hydrogelled asses. And she's thinking, I'm a 41-year-old single mother with no ass. I'm long in the tooth. I got a crazy baby daddy. So I got to get it in. I gotta let the world know how fly I used to be when I hit the wall. I gotta let people know what kind of skills I had. Y'all remember the Basketball Wives. So all these Loving This and Basketball That. But even the Basketball Wives show, some of those women put out pictures of their coochies and titties. Go look that up. A couple of those women had some quote unquote leaked pictures of their coochies and titties out. When these women get long in the tooth, they want people to remember how fine they used to be. They want to have a record of how fine they used to be when they don't really have anything to show for all of the ratchetness and miscellaneous dicks they've been accumulating all their lives. They have no real talent, so they need to leave some kind of legacy. And that's human nature. We want to leave a legacy. And if you don't have any kind of talent or skill to leave a legacy for, or even a relationship, you shine up them hoe boots. And let's go back to Mimi. Mimi is like the kind of female who's on Love and Hip Hop, and she likes to act like she's above all the ratchetness and all that. But you're not above the ratchetness. And there's another woman on the show, Jocelyn, who's a front door hoe, and I like Jocelyn. You know, she was a stripper, hoe, the whole nine yards. Straight up and down with her. She's in her 20s, banging body. And Jocelyn is going around the country doing appearances, and, you know, she's getting top dollar for being on the show. And Mimi has to compete with that. So Mimi is like, hell, if I can't beat him, let me outsuck him. And that's exactly what she's doing. So again, she's out here hoeing to make a legacy for herself, and we got to understand that part of the game. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, go to TariqElite.com to get all my gear. The dress shirts are coming soon. The Tariq Elite boots are coming soon. Don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get the movies Hidden Colors 1 and 2, Hidden Colors 3 coming this summer. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. I will see you, ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday on Ustream. Holla.